Hi everyone, Brian Newber here from goldenblack.com, live in his rental car, driving around Minneapolis and surrounding communities, having recently left the Target Center following Purdue's 76-75 overtime loss to Wisconsin in the semifinals of the Big Ten tournament. Here in the Twin Cities, this is your goldenblack.com drive home, or in this case, drive back to a hotel. Post-game podcast that is brought to you by our friends at the East End Grill and Ripple and Company, Purdue Federal Credit Union, T&W Design and Build, AcrePro.com, and the Whitaker Inn, which is hundreds and hundreds of miles from here, so I will not be driving past it tonight. So Purdue's Big Ten tournament hopes of repeating as champions go by the wayside today in very narrow, relatively flukish manner. Purdue had the game in hand a couple of times where a few things happen in your favor and the game's basically over. When you're playing with a lead there at the end, very untimely turnover there in the last few seconds of overtime. A call you probably don't see very often, but I don't think it was a terrible call. The push off on Braden Smith trying to get Chucky Hepburn off of him. I don't think it was a terrible call, just a time where you don't ordinarily see such things called. I think that kind of was a perfect ending to this game. Because it once again for Purdue, they are 4-for-4 on losses this season, where the one thing that got them beat is turnovers and points off turnovers by extension. And that was very much the case in this game. Purdue turned it over 16 times. Wisconsin got 15 points off of it. That is very much aligned with the Northwestern, Nebraska, and Ohio State games, in which Purdue allowed an average of 20 points off turnovers in those three games. This was just 15, so that kind of cuts the average a little bit. Nevertheless, 15's a pretty healthy margin for a game that twice came down to the final buzzer. Once at the end of regulation, and then at the end of overtime, Wisconsin making its game winner with just a couple seconds left on the clock. Obviously, the turnover issue has been Purdue's greatest existential threat all season long, and it's been sitting there in the background for a couple of weeks. And it comes out at a bad time, at least from a Big Ten tournament perspective. Obviously, it could come out at a worse time, like next week or the week after that. But it was always there as that thing that could get Purdue beat on a lot of nights. And it's now done so four times and thus ended Purdue's championship hopes here, at least in the Big Ten tournament. Obviously, you've already got the regular season title. That's the more important one. I think you have to give Wisconsin some credit for Purdue's turnover issues. I think they did a good job defensively, kind of mixing things up a little bit in terms of the post-entry defense. I think they put a lot of pressure on Purdue's guards and entry men, and I think that had a little bit of an effect. I think Chucky Hepburn played a great game in what may or may not be his last game at Wisconsin against Purdue. I don't know. Purdue just turned the ball over too much. And when I said there were some fluky things that happened in this game, I'm not just talking about the turnovers. The turnovers have been a thing for Purdue this season. Again, the first three losses were all the same story. So now all four losses are the same story. The fluky part was Purdue plays 7 minutes, only 7 minutes in the first half with Zach Edey because he picks up two fouls in a second. He fouls on a rebound first, and then Wisconsin starts talking you-know-what to him. He replies, and he gets his second double technical in as many days. And so that's two fouls right there and a seat on the bench. And Purdue had to play most of the first half without him. That's obviously problematic in a lot of ways, offensively, defensively, things like that. But Purdue, I think all season long, one of their like knacks has been just kind of hanging in there when things aren't, going right. And I thought without Edey, Purdue hung in there, got the game tied by halftime. Nevertheless, losing Zach Edey, I think, was the difference between being tied at halftime and being up like 10. So it really did matter. But getting the game tied at half despite not having Edie most of the half and shooting 1 of 8 from three, I think was a pretty big deal. Purdue was able to get into the bonus without Edie on the floor. Edie only drew one foul in the first half. It was everybody else who basically got fouled getting Purdue to the bonus. Purdue managed to find its way to the free throw line to kind of hang in there, ultimately get the game tied. But then in the second half came the shooting normalized, as you figured it would. The turnovers then struck. Purdue had, I think, 10 in the second half, including like 6 in 5 minutes. And that was a window where Purdue had an opportunity to really build some cushion, to really open this game up a little bit, that it couldn't take advantage of, and really allowed Wisconsin to hang around. It's, you know, F around and find out, as the kids say. And I'm not saying that to diminish what role Wisconsin played in some of those turnovers, but that was the game right there. That stretch where Purdue just couldn't take care of the basketball enough to leverage having Zach Edey on the floor. Now, a couple of those turnovers were related to him in the post, but otherwise, that was a huge chunk of the game there, that 5 minutes where Purdue just couldn't, with its best guys out there, unlike the first half, just couldn't take care of the basketball well enough to get 10 more points or 6-8 more points in that stretch of time, and that would have changed the way the game unfolded from here. Nevertheless, Purdue had the game won a couple of times. Purdue made more big threes in big moments there in the second half. You know, for having only played 7 minutes in the first half, Zach Edey still finishes with 28. They really had no answer for him other than the turnovers, which is, I guess, a big part of it, so I shouldn't say other than. And then overtime, it just, you know, Purdue gets in two situations where you just got to stop and you win the game, but you can't foul. And they just couldn't get the stops. I don't think there's anything about this game that is predictive of things to come. I know where Purdue fans' collective minds are wandering to, but this was not a start of a trend. This was not something that's going to, you know, repeat itself again here next week or the week after that, I don't think. That said, it's happened to Purdue 4 times this season with the turnovers, so, you know, theoretically it could happen at any point in time. I think that Purdue really wanted to win this thing. I think it would have been a big, big deal for Purdue to win this thing. Anytime you have a chance to win a championship with a team like this, you want to stack championships one on top of the other, regardless of whatever bigger goals you have, as long as they're not being completely compromised, which I don't think they were, because Braden Smith sure looked okay to me today. But I think that the turnover thing's been sitting there in the bushes all season long, and it came out today. Every time it's come out prior to today, Purdue stuffed it back in the bushes for a couple weeks, won a bunch of games in a row. I think the number is 6 a couple times, and you know what happens now if Purdue wins 6 games in a row. I'm not predicting that to happen, but I'm saying that while you wanted to win this thing, this team has gotten really pissed off, and they have responded really well every time they've lost this season. And now that you've not won this thing, which you wanted to do and you should have wanted to do, there is some positive to be derived from this. Most likely, Purdue has never once hung its head. We're in the locker room after the games, after this thing, and after these postseason games, and you don't see anybody there fazed by any of this stuff. It's all the same message. We know how good we are. It's just one loss, you know, so on and so forth. That's been a consistent message, a quiet confidence kind of about this team, bordering on almost arrogance. Almost, if you didn't know any better, if you were just coming across these guys for the first time, you would think that they didn't care. But it's the exact opposite. They care so much that they're not losing their heads about any particular setback this season, and the results that have followed every single time have been really, really positive. So I'm not backtracking on my long-held stance that Purdue really should have wanted to win this thing. that this was important. But now that you haven't done that, the next best thing is obviously to take whatever you can take from this, turn it into anger, turn it into an increased awareness of your one greatest existential threat moving forward, which is the clustering of turnovers and the points off the turnovers, things like that, and just kind of use it. Use whatever you can get this time of year. And that's kind of, I think, the approach Purdue will take. And I would not want to be who they have to play in the first round of the NCAA tournament, or better said, who has to play them, because they are going to be mad and they are going to be ready to put to bed the storyline from the last year. Obviously, it's not something to beat your chest about when you beat a 16 seed, but I know Purdue is tired of hearing about it and pissed off because they just lost a basketball game. So I think you will see the best of Purdue, likely in Indianapolis, next weekend. So that's what I got. Selection Sunday is Sunday, obviously. I will still be in Minneapolis. I couldn't get out in time. So Mike Carmen and our team back home will be covering all of the Purdue stuff on site. And Mike and I will be in Indianapolis, presumably, next weekend for Purdue's first and likely second round NCAA tournament game. So if you have not yet subscribed to goldenblack.com, this would be a good time. We think we will make it worth your while. We'll have lots of good stuff on our site. We had lots of good stuff on our site this week. Mike did a great job with his story. Wait, he hasn't published that yet. Never mind. He has a good story coming up. So he did a great job last week of this story on Zach Edey and looking back on his background at Purdue and things like that. So be sure to check that out. Be sure to subscribe to our site. If you're listening to this on one of your podcast platforms, please, if you enjoy this for some reason, if you like the sound of my turn signal, please leave us a 5-star review and a pleasant, preferably comment. We'd appreciate that very much. And thank you once again to all our sponsors, the East End Grill and Ripple and Company, Purdue Federal Credit Union, T&W Design and Build, AcrePro.com, and the Whitaker Inn. And we will talk to you guys again next weekend. So thanks so much.